I hope that our vote counted somewhere for something, okay? Now we got to pray that they keep our votes. Amen. I don't know how to say this. We are living in serious times. I just got a note in my phone, and I'll read it to you. The headline says, West Coast, California, Oregon, Washington plate has just shifted 4 to 6 millimeters toward the ocean in 1 week. Now, I don't know what that means, but that doesn't sound good. Does that sound good to you? Do you think Trump would win if they fell in the ocean before the election? I didn't say that. I didn't say that, okay? Take it off the tape. Okay. We do need to pray for Mike Walker. He's got 4 compression fractures in his back. No wonder his back's been hurting. And if you don't mind, I'll pray for him right now, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Mike, for his faithfulness to this church, for his faithfulness to you, for his love of your word, Father, and Father, for his faithfulness to his family, Lord. And Lord, I just pray right now that as he's facing surgery this Tuesday, that it'll be a successful surgery, that it'll be healing, and that he'll come back to us stronger than he's ever been. Lord, remove the pain, remove the pressure, remove all the things that are making his life hard. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is the last day for the groceries being collected out front, so if you can let that know. Who's in charge of picking up the groceries out front here? Jean, thank you so much. And also, Jean is in charge of the supper we're having, the church supper we're having next Sunday. Not the supper, the, what do we call it? Lunch on the ground. Okay, you're in charge of that, so help her know what you're going to bring or what you want to intend to bring for that lunch. We all want to have you there. We have the normal meetings this week. We have Tuesday night, the ladies' meeting. Wednesday night, I'll be teaching Acts chapter 7. And we're also... Okay. I didn't know if you had some more announcements. Okay. So anyway, we're going to have the choir practice. We're glad to see new folks come to that. There's going to be a brief, very brief meeting of the Leadership Council. Those of you who are here in the radio room back there where Wes usually runs the sound room. We just have to talk briefly about what we're going to do about the Constitution. And it won't be complicated, just a yes or no quick decision. Let me think. Anything else here that I may have missed? What else is going on? Yes, that's also back there, Operation Christmas Child and the food that's being collected back there. Okay. Good, we need to get that done. Anything else I may have missed? All right. Lots of folks are on the roads. We are looking forward to having folks come back again before Christmas time. Okay, that's it. God bless you all.
Right. Well, the word's still out. Everybody knows I'm speaking. Boy, you got wound up this morning in Sunday school. You missed that. You ought to come back for Sunday school next Sunday. Oh, you're not teaching it. All right, you mark that on your calendar, but you come back next Sunday anyway. Is Ray next Sunday? Yeah, I've got a list somewhere. I just don't have it. My wife makes me put my phone in the car because there's too many interesting current events going on. We'll let Carl take care of those. So I want to get first things first. If there's anybody that wants to stand up and say anything this morning, please do so. Now, pray for that lady. I say that jokingly, and yet she's been deeply hurt at some point in time in her life. and pray for her. I invited her back and sincerely meant that, but to be sure and pray for her. I want to thank once again Terry and all you other folks that entered in so eagerly in his Sunday school class this morning. Y'all left your footprints all over my sermon this morning. But that's okay. We're going to be looking at the believer and the believer's rewards. I wanted to term or title this series of messages, Basic Building Blocks of the Faith. And this was the lesson that should have been and will be the judgment seat of Christ and the believer's rewards. But after I got through studying, and I had about 16 pages, I decided we needed to break that into Part A and Part B. So we're going to be looking at Part A and Part B. The story's told of, by the way, Sunday school is a very important part of our education as believers. It gives us an opportunity to come together and to look into God's Word in an informal way. And it's a very important part. I'm reminded of the story of the little boy that went to Sunday school. And the Sunday school teacher was very faithful in teaching the Word of God, and she had been on the subject of creation. And so she talked about God's creating everything. And she talked about God creating Eve from a rib out of Adam. And he was very interested in that. And he was very studious and very quiet as he listened. Several days later, after he had gotten home, his mother walked into the den and found him on the floor, holding his side. And she said, "What's wrong, honey?" He said, "Well," he said, "I've got a pain here. I think I'm about to get a wife." So, I've got some others, but I'll save those till later. The believer and the believer's rewards. You know, eternal life is guaranteed to all who trust Jesus Christ and what He's done for them to get them to heaven. We have eternal life. We have the righteousness of Christ Himself to go to heaven on. The mistake that we as believers sometimes make, and it was illuminated here in the Sunday school lesson this morning, is that many people think, especially those that are unsaved, think that believers supposedly who believe in the grace, free grace gospel, in other words, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. They think that we believe that we can trust Jesus Christ and His grace to get us to heaven and live then after that any way that we choose. And let me say this morning, we cannot. Let me back up here and put a parenthesis in this morning. There's not a one of us, I feel like this morning, I feel led to say this because we have all, I think, come under the attack of Satan in the last few weeks. I know for many of you, I know the circumstances that are in your life. Some of it is of a medical source. Others are emotional sources. Others are just the difficulties that we face as believers in this world that we live in today. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for one another and pray seriously and often. There's people in our congregation this morning that are desperately in need of your prayer and my prayer. And I would say this, that for me, I'm in need of your prayers. May God minister to us as we call upon Him and ask Him to meet the needs of our church. But we can take faith and great stock in the fact that when we as believers come under the attack of Satan himself, and I believe some of these, if not most, probably all, are a result of Satan's attack to discourage us. Let's not become discouraged, because we have a Savior who is Jesus Christ. He is the one who gave His life for us, and we have eternal life because He chose and he was willing to come and make that payment for us upon the cross. And we can be assured of going to heaven when we, by faith, trust him and his death on the cross to get us to heaven. This morning, we're talking, though, about the Christian life and how we go about living this life that we've been called to live. We have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We've been guided by the Word of God, and we still face difficulties. This old flesh is not dead. This old flesh is not inactive in our lives. This old flesh is still very much alive. This old flesh still interrupts what we would desire to see in our walk with the Lord. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we become God's child. And while we have certain privileges as God's child, we do not have the license to live any way that we please. God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us more than we can ever understand or comprehend this side of heaven. And God has a plan for our life. God wants to bless us more than we can even comprehend. God is now our Father. But in all of this thing that we call the Christian life, God, our Heavenly Father, has a responsibility to us as His child to take care of us, to guide us, to direct us, to encourage us when we do that which is glorifying and honoring to Him, and yes, to chastise us when our lives are in contradiction to what He would have us to do. If a person thinks that a Christian can live in sin and not be punished for it, he's sadly mistaken. I have become a recipient in years past of God's chastisement. Let me encourage you, it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. We need to know what God's Word has to say concerning our walk with the Lord. And if it's in accordance with His will and to His honor and glory, God's Word tells us, as we read this morning, that we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day and receive a reward. If we have a life that is not honoring and glorifying to Him, and there's works in our life that are not honoring and glorifying to Him, we as His children shall suffer loss. God deals with us as His children in two main ways. One, when we are responsive to and obey God's leading in our life, God disciplines us mainly in one way of guidance, in another way of encouragement, and in another way of further instruction. When we as His children decide that we have that we would choose to live as we please, contrary to what God would have us to live, then God takes whatever measure is necessary in our lives to cause us to obey Him. You see, God uses the two things that motivate us as human beings. That's love and fear, or a mixture of the two. God knows just exactly the right amount of each one to motivate us to serve Him and to live for Him. We find in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12, we read, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." This is also requoted in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. We need to realize that when God corrects us, it is because He loves us, not because He hates us. I tell many times, I've told Nancy, I can't understand or comprehend all of God's love this side of heaven, and probably not understand it even when I see Him face to face. God loves us with such a love. God chastises us when we have lives that are honoring to Him, not glorifying to Him. He chastises us, because he loves us and knows what's best for us. We find also in Job chapter 5, verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." I had to study about that for a minute. In fact, I studied for about 30 minutes when I was preparing. Happy is the man whom God correcteth. Sometimes his correction is not all that joyous. But you see, we profit by it. Ultimately, we profit by it. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." A lot of people think that the word bad is a substitution for the word sin. But as I look in my Greek concordance, I find that this word bad, as used here, it simply means useless. You see, when a person trusts Christ as their personal Savior, all sin has been paid for. All sin has been laid on Christ. Christ died and paid for that, and God's Word says He removes it as far as the east is from the west. We build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. There's no other foundation that we as believers can build upon but that one. We find also, Paul speaks about this same thing in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verse 11 and following, we find this. 1 Corinthians 3:11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." You see, when we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have been given a clean foundation upon which to build our Christian walk with Him. And we have a choice of building things upon that foundation that brings Him honor and glory. You want a list? I would suggest that you get into your Word of God and do some study. You'll find different things there that bring Him honor and glory. But I would suggest to you this morning that one of the things that we ought to really thoughtfully and prayerfully think about and consider is what brought Jesus Christ to this earth. Jesus Christ speaks in the book of Luke, and He said, "I am come to seek and to save that which was lost." That was His purpose. All of the other things that we know about Jesus Christ, all of the good that He did, all of the healings that He performed, the main purpose He came this earth for was to save you and I. In other words, God's Word tells us, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world, everyone He loved enough to send His own Son, Jesus Christ, came and made that payment because He loves us just that much." The only foundation God recognizes is the foundation of Jesus Christ. Not who we are, not our status in life, not our bank account, not who we married or the country that we live in. The foundation is Jesus Christ. We find that we who know Him as our personal Savior can build upon that foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ, with either gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, which God's Word calls bad. Good or bad? That word useless. Bad, useless. That's what it means in New Testament Greek. It's just useless. Many of us, I'm ashamed to say myself, to a large extent has spent my life in building things which are useless. We ought to be careful upon how we as to how we build upon that foundation, because one day God will judge every person's work to see whether it was good or whether it was useless. We find also in verse 14 of that same passage, it says that those who have done good work will receive a reward, but those who have done useless works will suffer loss. And then we'll not only suffer loss in the future, but my friend, we lose the blessings that God would have us have here on this earth in our walk with Him. You see, there's blessings, God's richest blessings, to those of us who desire to walk with Him and who daily strive to do that. We find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. A life of service for the Lord will be richly rewarded here on this earth, but it'll also be richly rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And let me say this. This word love is vastly misunderstood. Vastly misunderstood. This word love means far more than a warm, fuzzy feeling. Far more than that. It's far more than that warm, fuzzy feeling where we accept in our lives things that are dishonoring to the Lord. Also, when we accept with that warm, loving, fuzzy feeling, things that are wrong in other people. We don't stand to judge other people, but by the same token, we need to understand the righteousness of God. And when we see, especially in our families, as mothers and fathers and as grandparents, things that are evident in our family's lives that are dishonoring to the Lord, we ought to speak up. That's hard. I don't want to do that. I may hurt their feelings. I love them. Let me say this. Love them like God loves them. He wants the very best for them. We should want the very best for them. We find also in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, John chapter 10, verse 10, if they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, their years in pleasure. That's Job chapter 36, verse 11, and then John 10, 10. Christ said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Many people who know Christ as their personal Savior go through this life here on this earth without an abundant life. And we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior that are here this morning, we should strive to have that abundant life. We should desire that abundant life. You want God to honor your life, I would suggest, if I want God to honor my life, I suggest that we serve Him. Get busy. And if you do serve Him, God's going to honor your life. He says in John 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's an ironclad guarantee. Just as strong and just as certain as the guarantee of eternal life to all of those who trust Him. The secret of Christian victory in their walk with the Lord is nothing more or nothing less than obeying God. That's it. Just obey God. You say, Mike, that's pretty hard to do. I don't know what all you have me to do. May I suggest we find out more as we spend time here. How much time do we as believers spend time in the Word of God? You see, it's God's love letter to us. Nancy and I were dating before we ever got really serious. Then when we got serious, we began to write things down. If I'm not mistaken, I think probably right now, somewhere hid away in some dresser drawer or at the top of some closet, he has a container that has little 4x4. Is that right? 4x4 or 2x2 notes that as I would leave of a morning, I travel about 75,000 miles a year for probably 12, 15, 20 years, something like that. I'd leave her a little mushy note. She's kept them. You see, those were my love expressions to her. And I have a letter or two where she expressed her love and emotions to me. I value that. And in this thing that we call the Bible, the thing that many times doesn't get a whole lot of use, a lot of times we fail to get in it on a daily basis, is God's love letter to us. It's the instructions on how He would have us to live our life, not for salvation, but because He loves us. Love is a great motivating factor. It's not always a mushy, but warm, fuzzy feeling. Sometimes love can be hard to express, but necessary. God's Word indicates that to us in many different places. But I would suggest we need to spend time this morning. We need to spend time in the Word of God as we walk day by day. People say, well, I want God's blessing upon my life. Simple. Just serve Him. What you want to do will often be exactly the opposite of what God would have you do. You see, we're in this old fleshly body still. Many times we will go contrary to what we know God wants us to do, contrary to the things that we know not to do, and yet we do them. There is a human response many times to the difficulties of life, the hurtful remarks from other people. There's a human response. God says that ought not to be. We ought to pray for that individual who causes us harm or causes us hurt. Many times, what we want to do will be opposite of what God wants us to do. But my friends, the rewards are great. God not only gives us eternal life as a gift. You see, eternal life is not a result of our living for Him. It's not a result of us being obedient to the Word of God. Eternal life comes as a result of grace that God offers to us. And that eternal life comes through when we exercise our faith in what Christ has done for us. That's love. How many of us have gone out of our way to our cost and our time and our efforts just to extend love to somebody that we love? You see, God sent Christ and He came and gave Himself for us. Loved us before we ever loved Him. Loved us before we ever knew Him. He loved us that much. My friends, tonight or this morning, we need to consider what the cost will be if we do not serve the Lord. God uses many things to motivate us to serve Him. Job exhorts. He says in Job chapter 9, verse 4, he says that who hath hardened himself against God and hath prospered. Let me say this. Nobody has. There's not one individual that's ever lived who's prospered and yet hardened his heart towards the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47 and 48, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Have we thanked the Lord for that? Are we appreciative of that? Listen to this. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. You see, there is a yoke that people wear. Either a yoke that will destroy us, or the yoke where Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy." Sometimes we as believers choose to go with the iron yoke. And all the time, God is saying, if you'll just follow me, if you'll just do the things that I ask of you, and he'll lay things on your heart, things that you need to do when we're willing to accept those things. You see, Satan will always give you the best excuses why you shouldn't obey God, but the decision as to what you will do with your life is completely up to us, to you and to me. But as we've mentioned before, salvation is voluntary, but so is service. Serve the Lord, and we will have that easy yoke that God promises. We find in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, the obedience of a servant of God will have this yoke of an obedient servant. Matthew 11, 30, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." You know, as a young man growing up, I did not have a lot of self-esteem. My dad worked hard. But let me say this. Our family was not in the top 10 of the wealthiest people in the United States. He worked hard. We lived good, never went hungry that I can remember. But I still did not have a lot of self-esteem. And many times we as believers feel that we have no particular talent to give the Lord. You know, God's Word tells us that the greatest ability in Christian work is dependability. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "It's required in stewards that a man be found, or a woman either, be found faithful. One who knows him and is faithful in doing what God leads him to do." Can we stand before God or stand before the mirror in our bedroom and look ourselves in the face and say, "I've been faithful in my walk with the Lord"? That's all God requires, not talent. I appreciate so much Red and his talent. I tell you, I enjoy listening to him play. But I have no talent. I enjoy listening to Steve sing. I have no talent. I enjoy listening to Brenda play. I have no talent. Sometimes we think I have no talent. But all God requires of me or you, either one, is to be faithful. It's not required that we be popular or wealthy or successful or educated or influential, or have a big bank account. God honors the believer who faithfully does his best for the Lord every day. Doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. Doesn't mean that we won't mess up. But if we desire to do what God would have us to do and we're faithful, God will enable us to do those things. Paul wrote to that in his regarding his ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "And I thank Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus our Lord, "who hath enabled me." Apostle Paul, many times we think of as having all of the answers and needing no direction. Thought of Paul because he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, highly educated. Paul said that, "I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me in that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You say, I desire to do things for the Lord. Well, do them. To the best of your ability, do them. I would love to teach Sunday school. Do that. I'd love to have a home Bible study. Do that. I would love to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Become a soul winner. You're not going to get it right every time. You're not going to say just the exact theological words at the right place. But God will see that you're faithful. He knows that. He knows your desire. So I would encourage you to be like Paul and one day be able to say to yourself, if to nobody else, I thank God who counted me and enabled me, putting me into service for Him. I would encourage you to do that. You say, Mike, most of my life is over with. I got to thinking the other day, it might be nice to have a brand new pickup until I priced them. I could afford the payments. 84 months you get to pay it off. I'm 78, 84 months. I'd be old and dead. Older and dead. I'll just drive my old 93 pickup. Doesn't matter to me. A disciplined life of the Lord will cost you work. You'll do things that you probably really rather not do. It will cost you time. And some of us, many of us, don't have enough time to watch the TV shows, play the games, to go to the shops and shop. We don't have time to serve the Lord. We should make time. I'm being a little facetious there about how we spend our time. But a disciplined life will cost you work and time and effort. But an undisciplined life, not serving the Lord, will cost you much more. It won't cost you salvation. It won't cost you your eternal life. But it'll cost you love, joy, peace, all of these things that are ours. We find then that happiness is not found in pleasure, money, laughter, fame, or getting what you think you want. How many of us have gotten things that we think, boy, if I could just get that, I'd be satisfied. It doesn't satisfy. You know that. You've experienced that. And so have I. You see, our future, our enjoyment, what we enjoy tomorrow and the following day and the rest of this week, coming week, will be what we do today. What we do today. God's looking all over the earth for those who are single-mindedly, sincerely wanting to serve Him. We find in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and these words have not become obsolete, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. God wants to do things for His children, just as much and more so than what we want to do for our own children. We want to see them successful. God wants to see us successful. He wants to see us prosper. We want to see our children prosper. We want to see our children have things in this world that would bring them ease and contentment. God wants the same thing for us. You see, He is a perfect parent. He's a perfect Heavenly Father. He knows just the things that would bring us happiness and peace and comfort and ease and rest. But we don't want to do the things that bring those. You see, we need to have a desire. While it would be wrong for Christians to serve the Lord only because to be rewarded for it, there's nothing wrong with realizing that God has set such a high value upon serving Him that one day He will reward us for that service. We find in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 26, we find that Moses did just this. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses served the Lord, motivated by the knowledge of the future reward that he would receive. Find Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25:21. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. But that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or worthless. How many of us this morning are leading lives that are worthless in the sight of God? And someday, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will realize that more than ever. But you see, God has a desire to work through you and I. We're not many in number, but let me say this, in prayer, we've accomplished all things. We need to realize that. In God, we will have a recompense of our reward. A person must build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Even the best works a person could build upon outside of Christ are only filthy rags. We mentioned that, or it was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, and could never amount to the righteousness needed for eternal life in heaven with or without rewards. We find in the book of Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. My friends, this morning, whether we be old or whether we be young, whether we are young enough to experience all of the lust of the flesh and the pride of life that we desire to become or have or see, whether we be that age or whether we be our age, most of us white-haired, gray-haired, no hair, we find we still have an opportunity to make our lives count for the Lord. Begin today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Begin today. Spend time in the Word. Ask God. He'll show you different things that we can do. We have much work to do here in our church if we're going to see it not only survive but thrive. We have a lot of work to do, and it's going to take planning. It's going to take purpose, and it's going to take people. Those people I'm looking at this morning. I'm looking at myself as I look in a mirror. God uses people, His people. We should serve the Lord for the praise of God, not for the praise of men. It's the Lord who will reward you. Certainly, men will not. Knowing Ephesians 6:8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Morning, I'm looking out over this group. Sparse as it is, I see you. I have seen your testimony over the years, and I would suggest it to myself that I'm looking at people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but who do I know? How do I know? What is the reason that I assume that you know Christ as Savior? If you don't this morning, the free gift of eternal life is yours by simply placing your faith and trust in what Christ has done for you on the cross. God's Word tells us He'll give us eternal life, and it's ours forever. Never to be lost, never to be taken away. It's ours forever. But I would challenge you this morning to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. It's not an invitation of salvation. You trust the Lord. But I would like to just suggest to you that today might be a good day to begin your walk with the Lord, desiring to serve Him in all that you do. Places you go, the things you say, the people you visit. Today might be a good day to start that. You see, God will reward those things done in private. He'll reward openly at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be looking at the judgment seat of Christ next week. But if you're here this morning and you would say with me, not to me, but with me, well, my life has not been all that it should be for the Lord. I have prejudices. I have things against other people. I have been hurt by other people, and I'm going to carry that with me no matter what. Would you think about that for just a moment? Would you think about your life? How you walk with the Lord? How you spend your time? Where your thoughts are? At various times during the day? Would you think about those things? And would you, with me, silently and to ourselves, but know that God knows our thoughts, would you just maybe be honest with the Lord and say, you know, my Heavenly Father, I've not been all that I could be for you. And most of my life is gone, but I would like to have the rest of it, the remainder of it, really count for you. Not for the rewards that will be mine, but because I belong to you and I want to please you as my Heavenly Father. That's my desire this morning. That's my thoughts this morning. And if those are your thoughts, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're my kind of people, I'll be glad to pray for you. I'm admitting to you this morning that that's me and that's my cry to the Lord. You pray for me. I don't know if that's your desire this morning. You've not expressed that to me, but if that's your desire this morning, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the weeks and days and months to come. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it and you put it down? If that's you, God bless you. I see your hands. Anybody else? Mike, pray for me. God bless you. I see those hands. Hands all over. Anybody else? Mike, pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Anybody else? You're my kind of people. You're my kind of people. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We're so thankful so much. We thank you so much for the gift of eternal life. We thank you so much for your grace that enables us to walk with you after our trusting Christ as our Savior. Father, there's many of us here we all have to realize that more days are behind us than are ahead of us, all things being equal. Father, these hands this morning, these hearts, these minds that are saying, boy, I want things to be different. Father, I ask that you'd bless them extra special good. You'd give them joy and peace. And Father, above all, that you'd give them direction as to what you would have them to do. Father, myself also. Father, we pray that you'd bless our church as we go about the things that bring honor and glory to you in the days, the weeks, and the months to come. Father, we do ask that you'd bless our church, that you'd bring people in who need to know Christ as their Savior, that we might minister, Father, to their needs, whatever they might be. Father, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll just sing the first verse of Beyond the Sunset, hymn number 548. Let's stand.